Welcome to the Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. Help of all Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to our program, The Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will meditate on a beautiful passage that comes from Volume 23 of the Book of Heaven, November 18, 1927. And the title of this passage is How When God Manifests a New Truth to the Creature, It Is a New Feast for God and for Her. As the soul decides to do her act in the divine volition, she calls the divine fiat to be reflected in her act with its light, which has the virtue of emptying it of everything that is not light. Luisa Picarreta writes the following: I was feeling afflicted because of the usual privations of my sweet Jesus, but all abandoned in his lovable will. Then I thought to myself, in these days, my highest good Jesus has not told me anything. Everything has been profound silence. He just barely let me feel a few motions of himself within my interior, but without a word of his. But while I was thinking this, he moved in my interior, telling me, my daughter, when God does not manifest more truths, the divine will is as though suspended. It does not add more goods for the creature. Therefore, for God and for the creature, there is not the feast which the truth brings with itself. Let's stop here and see what our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picarreta about this divine science, all the effects, basically, the effects of the creature receiving these truths. So when he doesn't manifest to the creature, he says, all this is suspended. The divine will is suspended. But when the divine will manifests all these truths to the creature, there is a feast for the divine will and a feast for the soul of the creature. So every time we read the Book of Heaven, every time we come and we encounter these truths about the divine science, there is a feast in the divine will. There is a source of happiness. God is able to unleash that joy that he has, to unleash those fountains of happiness, of joy, of beauty, of love that he has. So he just wants to shower us with his love through these truths that will bring us to the possession of his will operating in us, as he intended from the very beginning when he created Adam and Eve in the original state of holiness, as the Catechism teaches us in 375-376. In hearing this, Luisa Picarreta answers to our Lord Jesus, and she basically argues, "For you it is always feast, because you have all the truths with yourself, but for the poor creature the feast is interrupted." And she is right, so the feast is interrupted. Our Lord Jesus is already telling us that every time that he doesn't manifest new truths to the creature, then the divine will is suspended. But once we receive those new truths, there is a feast in God. For the poor creature, Luisa Picaretta says, the feast is interrupted. So this is basically what Luisa Picaretta is feeling, because she's arguing at the beginning, she's complaining that she doesn't feel, she feels abandoned now. She doesn't feel the presence of God, of our Lord Jesus. And then later on, she says, "I just feel a profound silence. He just barely let me feel a few motions of himself." So, again, when we encounter these truths, we have to be aware that there is a feast in God. And there is a feast, there should be a feast in the soul of the creature, as filled with that joy, with that knowledge of how to live in union with his will, how to go back to the point of origin as he intended from the beginning. And Luisa Picaretta continues her argument, her answer, and she says, "Lord, for you there is always a feast, but not for the creature, because you, Lord, you contain the source of everything, and the creature does not contain the fountain of everything." So, yes, this is exactly what happens. This is what the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us the fountain. He wants to give us the will, his will, that is the fountain of everything that exists, to operate in us, so that we may have the possession of the will of God operating in us, not only be channels of grace, but now possessing that very fountain of the will of God operating in us. So when the Creator does not communicate all these truths, then there is a kind of emptiness, sadness, this kind of abandonment that Luisa Picaretta is experiencing. And there is a private revelation also given to Catherine of Siena. God the Father speaks to Catherine of Siena, and in that private revelation, God the Father refers to our Lord Jesus as his truth. Jesus says of himself in sacred scripture, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." So Jesus, who is the truth, he wants to manifest all that he is to us. He wants us to know what his divine will was doing in his nature, how his divine nature was operating in his human nature, how his divine will was operating in that humanity that he took. Later on, our Lord answers to Luisa Picaretta, and he says, "My daughter, indeed for us it is always feast. Nor can anyone shade even slightly the ocean of our new joys and endless happiness which our divine being contains within itself." We have to remember that the will of God is the source of everything that exists. It is through his will, through him willing everything to exist and issuing that through his word, that everything comes into existence. But there is a feast the Lord says, which is formed in the act when our divine being, overflowing with love toward the creature, manifests its truths. To see the creature twice as happy, and so many more times as for many more truths as we manifest to her. It is a new feast for us. So there is a feast that is formed in the act of the creature as God manifests these truths, and the creatures receive these truths. And as we unite ourselves in the will of God and we begin to operate with that will of God in us through our simple acts, from the smallest to the greatest, then there is a shower of joy, of peace, of happiness that is formed in that very act of the creature. And for God, he says himself, the ocean of happiness in him redoubles. And in the creature, this is a spiritual reality that happens in the soul. We don't see it. We don't see it, but it is a spiritual reality that happens. One act more beautiful than the other. One act is a sun, S-U-N, more refulgent, more brighter, one more beautiful than the other. So the soul is being filled with this light moment by moment as we operate in that union with the will of God. That's why it's so much joy in God, because he's filling the creature with everything that he is. He gives himself to the creature through the acts. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to give himself to the creature. We read in the Creed, God from God, light from light. God is light himself, so he wants to communicate that light to the creature through our simple acts. The Lord says, to put out our truths which come out of the fount of our joys, to prepare for the creature the banquet of our happiness, which the truth contains, to see her celebrate together with us, sitting at our table, to nourish herself from our own food. It is a new feast for us, feast of joy, feast, joys are formed in the communication. So I think it's very clear what our Lord Jesus is saying. Then he says, isolated good does not bring feast. The joy does not smile. The happiness does not banquet alone. It does not put itself into liveliness. And besides, with whom can it celebrate, smile, banquet, if it finds no one for whom to make this feast, with whom to smile and to inebriate each other? So we are the only ones that we are able to correspond to God, because he gave us this free will, which is a gift that God gives to all of us, that God gives to the creature. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to use that gift that he gave us to correspond to him and to allow, in a certain way, the divine will to experience that joy and that happiness in God himself. Jesus explains in the Book of Heaven, when he talks about the Our Father, that there are three kinds of bread. The bread of the divine will, the bread, the Eucharist, the sacramental bread, and then the physical bread. And our Lord Jesus mentions here that the divine will enjoys and celebrates seeing the creatures sitting at their own table, nourishing herself from the will of God. What do we have to do as creatures to correspond to God? What do we have to do as creatures to live in this way that our Lord Jesus is given through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta? We have to unite ourselves to the will of God. We have to prepare ourselves through the sacrament of confession. We have to do the rounds. We have to be aware. We have to have that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in us always. To live in the divine will means not only to do God's will, my brothers and sisters, but to let His will reign and act within us. It means that our thoughts, our words, our actions, by virtue of being united with His will, they become divine acts. Acts that belong to the very will of God. And this is what was happening at the beginning with Adam and Eve in that original state of holiness and grace in which God created them. When the soul lives in the will of God, He's saying that basically He's being reflected also. Everything that God is being reflected in the act of the creature. This very union of the human will with the divine will by virtue of the creature saying yes, coming to know this divine science and understanding that God wants us to go back to the point of origin in which the divine will was operating in every single act of the creature. This is what forms the feast, the union. And the Lord mentions that right here. He says, therefore, union forms the feast, rendering another creature content forms one's own contentment. This is why, though we have our own feast, which are never lacking to us, because God is perfect joy, perfect happiness, we lacked the new feast which we do not give to the creature. So basically every time that God gives to the creature, that He gives something to us, and now referring specifically about this divine science, that fountain of joy and happiness and peace and beauty and everything that God is, basically it's been stirred over and over and over and over. It moves over and over and over and overflows more and more. And the creature is the occasion for that to happen in God. The Lord says, if you knew our joy and happiness in seeing your littleness sit at our table, nourish itself from the truths of our divine fiat, of our supreme volition, smile in its light face, take our joys in order to make within yourself the deposit of our richness, embellish yourself with our own beauty, and as though inebriated by so much happiness, hear you repeat, I want the kingdom of your fiat. You will want to put heaven and earth upside down to ask me for my fiat so as to obtain your intent and to do what? To render the whole human family happy of your same happiness. It means that your feast is not full if you do not render others happy of your very happiness, which you contain by virtue of my will. If you could make everyone know everything that you know about it and make everyone enjoy the happiness it possesses, will it not be one more feast for you, and will you not feel twice as happy of the happiness of others communicated by you? So this is what our Lord Jesus is saying, that happens in the inner life of God, of the Blessed Trinity, and this is what happens in the soul of the creature once you come to understand what this divine science is all about. That by virtue of operating in this way, the divine will is able to experience, God himself is able to experience as in human language we can explain it. It is the way to explain it in the human way so that we may understand it. We know that God is perfect happiness and complete joy and everything, but to understand it, let's put it in a human language. So every time we come to know these truths, every time we unite ourselves in the divine will, it's as if he experienced new showers of joy and happiness, and also the whole heaven, the souls of the blessed, they experience new showers of joy. Because that fountain of all that is good, of everything that exists, is being stirred over and over and over and over, making it overflow. Luis Picaretta says, surely my love, how much happier and more content I will be if I could overwhelm everyone into your holy will. And Jesus will them. So I am to our happiness, to our feast, that is never exhausted and keeps us always in feast. Would add the happiness of the creature. Therefore, when I see you yearn for my truths in order to know them, I feel drawn to manifest them. This is very important. When I see you yearn for my truths in order to know them, I feel drawn to manifest them and say, I want to enjoy my new feast with my little daughter. I want to smile together with her and inebriate her with my own happiness. So during these days of silence, you have lacked our feast and we yours. I'm going to say it again. Every time we come to read, we encounter these truths, there is a feast in God, because he delights in giving. He delights in making himself known to the creature. He delights to give himself to us. And this is what God does. He gives himself to us in and through creation. Look at the sun. It is only the reflection of the splendor of who God is. Look at the words of creation. Each one of them tells us something about who God is, beauty, immensity, power, strength. So now, in a very specific way, he wants to communicate himself and everything that he is through our simple acts united to his will. We are the occasion for that joy in God every time we unite ourselves to him. We are the occasion of that happiness in the blessed. This is the life that Adam possessed before the fall. This is the perfection that Adam possessed before he withdrew from that union, from the life of the divine harmony in which he was created and placed by God. And this is the life that our Lord Jesus gained for us through his passion, death, and resurrection. And this is the life that Jesus wants to restore in his church, in all of us. Our Lord Jesus tells very clearly to Luisa Picaretta that the more we know about his will, the more we encounter these truths, the more we possess in our being, the more he's able to transform us into another Jesus, into another himself. This teaching of the divine will, this truths that we encounter in the Book of Heaven, they all refer to what we see in Matthew 6:10, the kingdom of the divine will, the prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us in the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this divine petition, our Lord Jesus invites us to pray not only to be obedient to his will, but to be united to that very will, moment by moment, so that we may be able to say that we may live at every moment in union with his will and the will operating in us. Then the will of God, which reigns perfectly in heaven, may begin to reign in every act of the creature, so that we may possess the life of heaven in our acts. In this way, every act of our life becomes an act of love, of praise, of honor and reparation for all souls, an act of love. This is the life that the Blessed Mother lived. This is the life that our Lord Jesus lived in his humanity. This is what the divine will did in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue and see what our Lord Jesus says in these writings. My daughter, as you decide to pour yourself into my divine fiat and form in it your thoughts, words, and works, you make a call to my will. And my will, feeling call, answers the call by reflecting its light in your act. And with its light, it has the virtue of emptying that act of anything human that might be in it, filling it with all that is divine. Very important passage to be able to understand what the divine will does in the soul of the creature, my brothers and sisters. every act that we do in union with the divine will implicitly, the very act itself is saying to our Lord Jesus, give us your will. May your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Every single act is calling the divine will. My daughter, as you decide to pour yourself into my divine fiat and form in it your thoughts, your words and your works, you make a call to my will. The very act of operating the divine will, then, is a voice that is calling the divine will to descend. And look what the Lord says, and my will filling call answers that call by reflecting its light in your very act. So it's reflecting his very life. And I will say, God reflects himself in the act of the creature, and God reflects everything that he is according to the capacity of the creature. He gives himself as a whole, but according to the capacity of the creature. This is what happened in the original state of holiness and grace. This is what Adam received. He was being filled with everything that God is, but always according to his capacity. So moment by moment, he was growing in the likeness of God. And this is what our Lord Jesus is saying, as you operate in the divine will, everything that I am, everything that the will of God is being reflected in that simple act. So your act is being filled with love, with grace, with strength, with beauty, with power, with joy, with happiness, with wisdom, everything that God is himself, because it's a reflection. God is able to reflect himself in that tiny little act, reproducing his very life in that. So becoming mirrors, every single act is able to reflect who God is. That's why he will say in volume 14 that one act is more beautiful than the others, brighter than the others. Yes, because one act, every single act, then has a new capacity. With every single act, the creature acquires a new capacity for God, a new capacity for love, a new capacity for his creator, a new capacity to know who God is. So God delights when the creature comes and learns about this divine science. And whenever we unite ourselves with the will of God, there is a feast. And then whenever we operate in this, this is what the divine will does in the soul of the creature. It transforms the soul, it fills the soul with the glory of God, with the grace of God, with God himself, a little by little, moment by moment, transforming us from within. So every single act becomes an act of love. Every act of the creature becomes an act of praise, of glory, of honor, of adoration, of thanksgiving to God, our Creator. And this is what Adam was doing at the beginning. That's why through this divine science, our Lord Jesus wants us to be able to enter into this dimension, and this divine science places us in the point of origin just by virtue of operating in that. So there is the gift of knowing this divine science. All of you who are acquainted with these writings, you already have the gift of knowing. Now we have to advance in this spiritual way. We have to learn how to operate every time more perfectly, allowing the divine will to lead us into that perfection, into the possession of that will moment by moment, so that we may arrive to a moment that we may be able to be perfectly united to His will. And this is what all of this is about, us learning to enter into that union with the will of God. So let's continue then, and the Lord says, so my divine volition feels cold by your thoughts, by your words, by your hands, by your feet, and by your heart. Imagine that every heartbeat is a voice that is saying to God, give us your will. May your will be done on us here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the gift that we lost through our father, Adam. Give us the gift that you have for us. By your hands, by your feet, and by your heart. And it reflects its light in each of them. God reflects himself in every single heartbeat, in every single movement, in every single step, in every single word and work, in every single thought, in everything that we do. God is able to reflect his life in us, my brothers and sisters. So here we are growing in moment by moment. We are uniting ourselves more perfectly every time, moment by moment. That's why it's so important for us not to waste any act, whether they are simple acts, spiritual acts, whether there is joy, happiness, peace, or whether it is suffering, pain, worries, anxiety, everything. We are able to unite everything, excluding sin. That's why, again, we have to be in the state of grace and to have the effort to have that disposition in our souls through the sacrament. So the divine will then fills the soul of the creature with its very light. And then it says, it empties the soul of the creature of everything that does not belong to God, everything that does not belong to the creature. Excuse me, everything that does not belong to the divine will. And it reflects its light in each of the acts of the creature. It empties them of everything and forms in them its life of light. And since light possesses all colors, all divine will places, excuse me, my divine will places one of its divine colors on the thoughts, another on the words, another on the hands, and so with all the rest of your acts. See, God is able to give himself, something of himself to us, something different through every single act that we do. So we are being filled with God moment by moment. And since God is diversity, he is everything. all the colors. He possesses all the colors that exist, and even those that we don't even know. So he's able to give himself to us. And as you multiply them, so does it multiply its divine colors, invested by its light. And so, oh, how beautiful it is to see you invested by so many varieties of divine colors and shades, for as many thoughts, acts, steps as you do. All of these divine colors and light give you such beauty that it is an enchantment to see you. God is, by looking at the creature possessing this light of his, is by seeing the creature becoming the depositary of this light, of these colors, of these showers of joy and beauty, he delights just in seeing that. And this is exactly what was happening in the original state of grace and holiness in which Adam and Eve were placed before the fall. This is how God contemplated his creation, his creature. And this is what happened in the life of the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother that was full of grace at every moment. She was the enchantment of God. She was the enchantment of the Blessed Trinity. And the creature is called to become that. We are called to be that. He wants to give himself to us through every act, my brothers and sisters. And the whole of heaven will want to enjoy from such beauties with which my fiat has invested your soul. Therefore, let your call to my divine will be continuous. Even the heavens, they enjoy this. When the creature is being filled with this light, there is a passage from the writings of Luisa Picaretta that our Lord allows her to see the soul of Father Anibal de Francia. And Father Anibal de Francia, he explains to Luisa Picaretta, I didn't believe all the graces, all the light that I receive. From those little things that I said about the divine will, about the hours of the passion. He says, but I was surprised. He says, all these lights grow more and more as creatures do the hours of the passion. So more light add to the first. And then he says, but what surprised me the most were the few sayings published by me about the divine will. Each saying changed into a sun, S-U-N. And these suns invested all the lights with the rays. From such a surprise of beauty that one remains enraptured, enchanted. You cannot imagine how surprised I was at seeing myself in the midst of these lights and these suns, S-U-N. How content I was. And I thank our highest good Jesus who had given me the occasion and the grace to do This passage comes from volume 22, June 17, 1927. This is when our Lord allows Luisa Picarreta to see the soul of Father Anibal, and Father Anibal clearly expresses what we just read in volume 23, that the divine will reflects itself in every single act of the creature, filling the creature, that act of the creature, with everything that God is, and filling one act with something different than the other acts and the previous acts. God giving himself constantly to the creatures, giving himself to the creature through the acts of the creature. Let me read again, because this is very important. But what surprised me the most were the few sayings published by me about the divine will, basically the few truths that he encounters. Each saying changed into a sun, and these suns invested all the lights with the rays, formed such a surprise of beauty that one remains enraptured, enchanted. When the Lord says that there is a feast in the divine will every time the creature comes and encounters these truths, and every time that he reveals a new truth about the divine will, about his will through the creature, this is exactly what happens in the soul of the creature. This is what the divine will does in the soul of the creature. And we must believe it, my brothers and sisters. This should be an encouragement for us. This should be an incentive for us to love God with his own love, to love God with everything that he deposits in our acts. That's another way of corresponding to God, to the divine will. O most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, I love you intensely, I thank you perpetually in all the acts that I do. And I adore you, and I thank you, and I bless you, and I glorify you with everything that you put in every act that I do. This is something that we don't see, my brothers and sisters. This is something that we don't see happening in our soul, but this is something that is a reality. It happens. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit, who desires to reign in our hearts, who desires to reign in the souls of the creatures. Through this gift, the Blessed Trinity will reign in the soul of the creature. Through this gift, the life, the inner life of the Blessed Trinity is being reproduced in the soul of the creature, allowing us to correspond to God in the way and at the scale he desires us to do. Our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that this is the crown and the fulfillment of all the work that God has done. This is the crown of the work of creation and redemption. Creation was the foundation. Redemption was the means for us to be rescued, the means for us to be able to go back to that union, because that union, as our Lord says, union forms the feast. God wants to experience again, to continue experiencing, to reestablish that feast that he had with the creature from the beginning, before the fall. The reigning of the divine will comes to completion through the will of God reigning in the soul of the creatures, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, that's why the Lord is able to say that this gift is the greatest gift that He wants to give to all the human race. Because this gift allows us to correspond to God in that way. This gift allows God to empty ourselves of everything that does not belong to Him. As we continue to learn about this divine science, let us ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His grace. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to complete the work of God the Father in us, to give us the grace to be always mindful of this gift. Because, my brothers and sisters, this is the perfection that Adam possessed before the fall. This is the gift that the Blessed Mother possessed by grace. This is the gift that our Lord Jesus possessed by nature. And this is the gift that Luisa Picaretta received by participation, by learning how to operate in this divine science. The life of the divine will operating in the soul of the creature is what restores that gift that we lost in the fall of Adam. Let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, may we be able to remain in union with His will. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Thank you for joining me in this program, trying to explain the will of God. May the peace and joy of the divine will be in your hearts and your homes always. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.